There was a mother who asked her son how he liked first grade. And the son said, "Oh, I love school, except when Mrs. Decker tries to teach us things." Jesus' disciples would certainly agree with that little first grader. They didn't like it much when Jesus was trying to teach them things. And imagine Jesus' frustration as he tries to teach his disciples here on Maundy Thursday, which would be his last full day on earth. Let's look at our gospel reading this evening. But first, a quick reminder of what is happening here. From the book of Luke, we know that the disciples were arguing of who would be the greatest. Now, don't you just love the honesty of the Bible? The disciples are having a fight. And these peasants and these fishermen from some of the tiniest towns in the Roman Empire were debating of who was going to be the greatest, who would sit at the right or left hand of Jesus. I mean, this part of the story is almost comical as it is tragic. These were very simple men, and here they were privileged to sit down at the greatest supper in the history of the world, and here they are debating of who would be the greatest. They were not even thinking about washing each other's feet. In the time of Jesus, their feet would be coated with dirt. If it happened to be raining, their feet and their toes would literally be caked with mud. The streets were traveled by many animals. You can imagine all the raw sewage lying around everywhere. There were no street cleaners or garbage pickups at that time. Filth would be covered on their feet. Because of this, in every house in those days, there would be a basin of water where feet could be washed. A servant, if there was one, would wash the feet of the guests before they arrived. Then they would sit down to eat Roman style. But there was no servant that night. The disciples were certainly not going to wash each other's feet. To do so would have lowered their position and prestige in the group. These disciples were like chickens in this world. Listen now, if you would take any 10 chickens, any chickens, 10 of them, and you would put them in a pen together and then spread a little chicken feed all around, in short order, you will witness an amazing phenomenon. In a matter of just minutes, these 10 chickens, previously strangers, will fight for personal dominance. In common language, they will establish a pecking order. That's where that phrase comes from. Instinctively, they will determine through a series of skirmishes who the number one chicken will be, and then chicken number two, and chicken number three, all the way down to unlucky chicken number 10. Now, much is at stake in this dance of domination. Chicken number one will peck and intimidate chicken number two. Chicken number two will not retaliate. And chicken number two will take it from chicken number one, but then chicken number two will then turn around and peck away at chicken number three, who will in turn take out its frustration on chicken number four. And the pecking order continues all the way down the line until unlucky chicken number 10, who, needless to say, has a pretty miserable life, pecked, but no one to peck. It is a miserable life being on the bottom of that pecking order, unless it is a choice that you make out of love. The disciples' choice was not made out of love. They wanted to be the number one chicken. Picture these 12 nobodies sitting around this table. These 12 disciples just didn't get it. They all felt that they were the number one chicken, especially when it came down to feet washing. And so they said to themselves, "Well, if no one else is going to do it, I won't either." And so they sit down with unwashed feet, which was unheard of back in those days. And so the meal begins. small talk flows, and then the conversation gets kind of revved up again as they begin to have another argument of who will be the greatest. Jesus listens to their bickering, probably shakes his head, and then he very quietly stands to his feet. He walks out of the room just for a moment. He takes off most of his outer robes, and then he ties a towel around his waist. And then he walks back into the room. Suddenly, he does not look like the promised Messiah. He looks like a common slave. Perhaps it is Andrew who first notices what is happening, and Andrew suddenly stops talking. His God is kneeling at his feet. His God is washing his feet. One by one, each of these disciples, they are captured by the absolute quiet of the moment. Suddenly, no one is talking. Silence is all that you can hear in that room. Each man hears his own heavy breathing. The splashing of the water in the basin is the only sound that can be heard. And it sounds like a tremendous rushing river. The sound of water is a very distinctive sound, don't you think? Have you ever gotten into bed and you're about to drift off to sleep and then all of a sudden you hear that unmistakable sound of dripping water from your faucet? You think, well, I'll just ignore it. And the more you ignore it, the louder it becomes. And now there's only one thing that you can do, and that is to get out of that warm, cozy bed and to give the tap a hard twist. The sound of dripping water is now the only sound that can be heard in that room. This quiet sound is actually deafening. Each disciple swallows hard and then tries to get a hold of himself. They cannot believe what they are seeing. Jesus now comes to John to wash his feet with the water. John's God kneels before him. John sits there in a coma-like trance. This cannot be happening. But it is. Jesus finally gets to Judas. He looks Judas right in the eye. It is difficult for Judas to look back at him. Jesus knows what Judas is about to do. But still, Jesus kneels down, and then he begins to pour water over the feet of Judas. And then, with tender compassion, he bathes the feet of the one who will betray him just a few hours later. Finally, Jesus comes to Peter, who's sitting there at the end of the table. Peter's God kneels before him. He is about to pour water onto Peter's feet. Picture Peter as he pulls his feet back abruptly, and then Peter cries out, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet? You will never wash my feet." This is so Peter. And now all eyes go to Jesus. How will he respond? And rather than protest and argue with Mr. Impetuous, Jesus quietly says, "Unless I wash you, you will not share any part of me." And now you can cut the tension with a knife. This is one of those key moments in the stormy relationship between Peter and Jesus. Because Peter just didn't understand what Jesus was trying to do. However, he did understand that he had a choice to be made, either to stay there with Jesus or to be left behind. And so Peter responds with the only way that he knows how. And he cries out, "Lord, not just my feet, but also my hands and my head." That's Peter for you. It's all or nothing. And undoubtedly, this comment probably breaks the tension in the room. I can see all the other disciples almost bursting out in laughter. "Yep, that's Peter for you." I can even detect a very small smile on the face of Jesus. I can see Peter very slowly now lifting his feet, and he puts them into the basin of water. I can see the almost painful look on Peter's face as Jesus pours water onto his feet. I can see Peter almost visibly shaking as Jesus lifts his feet up. He reaches for a towel and he very gently dries the feet of Jesus. In my imagination, I can see Jesus giving Peter's feet a little pat, playfully, as if he's saying, "There, now that wasn't so bad now, was it?" But now Jesus walks back to the table. He sits down, and now the conversation starts with a very serious tone as Jesus says to all his disciples, "Do you understand what I just did for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done to you." That example is for people right here at St. John's. You have a God that gets down on his knees before you, and he says in the most dynamic way possible, "I love you so much. You are accepted. You are acceptable." Do you feel accepted? Or maybe you have that feeling that, "Well, I'm not really that important. Why would God worry about little old me?" Do you have that view? Or do you think, I am so messed up. I have done such bad things in my life. God could not possibly love me and accept me. And yet, there is God on his knees saying, "Yes, I do accept you. I accept you to the fullest. Through my death on the cross and my resurrection, you know that you have been accepted. However, can you accept me?" And now, in the quietness of your living room, or kitchen, or family room, picture Jesus right now in front of you, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, is now kneeling before you. And then, still kneeling, he speaks to you, "I will now wash your feet. This is your example to serve someone else." And now you may think, "Well, okay, when is the last time that I served someone?" And you can't say that there is no opportunity to do so. Look at the world right now. My gracious, we are living in organized or unorganized chaos. There are so many people that need our help right now. So, what number chicken are you? Are you chicken number one? Or chicken number two? Always pecking everyone else? It's always about you. You are the greatest. People should serve you. Or would you prefer to be chicken number 10, to be a blessing for others? Because in that way of living, you have chosen a wonderful and rewarding lifestyle, being on the bottom of that pecking order, because that is a choice that you have made out of love. You are the hands of Jesus. You are the feet of Jesus. And he expects you, figuratively, to kneel before others who are waiting to be served. This is not a request. This is a command. It's Maundy Thursday. And that word Maundy comes from the Latin word mandatum, which means commandment. He is commanding us to serve one another. just as he first served us. This day, Maundy Thursday, was his last full day on earth. And his command for you is to treat these next few days like it was your last few days on earth. Jesus said, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He gave up his life to serve you. It is now time for you to serve and to teach others. And what better way to live your life than to serve another person? And that is what Jesus would want you to do. Amen.